And right now we're going to the phones where we are joined by Rachel Heppner from, she's the executive director of the American Red Cross, and here to talk about some changes with the Red Cross and also what's going on in the midst of the coronavirus and how the Red Cross is continuing to fulfill its mission in our area. Rachel, welcome to the Wake Up Call Morning Show.
Thank you. Good morning.
So you guys do have some news. You've kind of, what is the Northeast Ohio region is being changed and kind of some realignment going on. What impact or effect does this have for folks who are interested in donating blood and how you guys are operating?
Really, I mean, the only change is, you know, for us, it was more of an internal change to realign with the blood territories. And so humanitarian services and disaster services, our counties were based on population and service delivery. And we found that aligning with what our biomed folks do kind of grew our chapter just a little bit. So we went from four counties here in Northwest Ohio to seven, including Monroe County. So it just kind of, our service delivery is not going to change when it comes to anything mission critical, whether it's, you know, serving somebody after a disaster like a flood or a home fire, you know, making sure that we're delivering and providing CPR classes within our community. But we're also aligning with what our biomed folks are doing. And it just makes a little bit more sense. But the mission remains the same, even amidst a pandemic, believe it or not. And we're really kind of, I don't want to say shifting our focus, but we're really, really wanting to make sure that now that elective surgeries are back on the schedules, that we have enough blood on the shelves should somebody need it. So that's kind of been like a real critical push since the beginning of quarantine.
Did you see a drop in people donating blood, maybe out of fears of, oh, am I going to get coronavirus? Is it safe for me to give blood? That kind of thing. Did that impact you guys?
Oh, we lost 33,000 drives, you know, almost in a week.
Wow.
And part of that, and that wasn't necessarily, I can't attribute that to necessarily fear, but a large part of the demographic donors are that 65 and older, and the ones that wanted to, you know, to keep their, in, you know, safety in mind, but schools closed.
Yeah.
So, you know, our high school drives canceled, our university drives canceled, you know, offices shut down. And so when people aren't reporting to work or reporting to school, those drives have to come off the books. But I will tell you that in the month of March alone, nationwide, we had over 75,000 new donors show up to donate. So that was a really, really big number for us. And it just showed that even amongst the pandemic, people understand that hospitals still have critical patients that they have to serve. And, you know, we're taking all the necessary precautions on all of our drives to make sure that our donors feel safe, to make sure our phlebotomists are safe and our volunteers are safe. So we put some extra safety guidelines in place to ensure a successful and safe donation.
Now, you mentioned the resuming of elective surgeries and things like that. During the initial phase of the coronavirus, when a lot of those things were kind of put on hold as they were, you know, obviously trying to save bed space for coronavirus patients, did we see a drop in the demand for blood, or did it even remain steady?
Yeah, I mean, definitely a drop in demand, where we would typically have a goal to collect at any certain drive over 100%. And we typically try to plot our drives about 108 to 110% because some people get deferred. Maybe they're not feeling well. Maybe they don't show up that day. Maybe they're a low iron content. But yeah, we did see the demand drop. So we were collecting less of what we normally would. But now that they're ramping up again, we're still in the midst of the pandemic. And summer is a challenge for us anyway because schools aren't in session. But now that, you know, some corporate offices have not yet opened up or they're opening up on a limited basis, those drives still are not going back on the books. So yes, great that elective surgeries are back on, but then we need to make sure that we replace those drives or put new drives on to make sure that we get back up to the capacity we should be at.
Yeah, I noticed even here, because we, you know, our community PSAs, and we always have quite a few for blood drives that are happening in our area. And we went from having, you know, we might have 15, 20 that we're doing in a PSA. We went down to like two or three.
Yeah. And, you know, and one of the things that we started doing about a month after, you know, the quarantine was, you know, we are now collecting the convalescent plasma. So, you know, individuals that were confirmed by a test, COVID-19 patients, go to the fixed site and donate the convalescent plasma to hopefully, you know, turn around and support somebody who might need it.
For folks who are interested in donating blood, what's different? I mean, obviously you got protocols in place to protect folks. So how does that look different than, you know, maybe if you had given blood a year ago?
Sure. We recommend folks making an appointment. I mean, Executive Parkway is our fixed site, and, you know, it's not that we turn away walk-ins, but we want to make sure that we can accommodate people that have appointments. With the fact that we have to keep people 6 feet apart in the waiting room, you will have to wear a mask. Everybody within the fixed site will be wearing a mask, and we'll take your temperature prior to you coming in. So it's just a little bit longer process for the check-in. If you are a donor, I would recommend downloading the Red Cross Rapid Pass, which is the donor application. You can do all your health history the morning of, so you can bypass that whole part of the donation process. But it may take just a little bit longer, but no more than maybe 10, 15 minutes longer than you normally would by going to an actual drive. So, but we are taking all necessary precautions, making sure things are wiped down, hand sanitizers everywhere, and but they will check your temperature prior to entering the drive.
And, you know, are you seeing more drives start up, maybe in churches and other places that are starting to have more drives?
And we have had some, you know, some partners who realize that maybe it's not necessarily, you know, opening up their office doors, but finding, you know, partners within, like, you know, the UAW in local churches saying, you know, we'll open your space for a community drive. And, I mean, they really are wonderful partners. The churches do an amazing job. And our partner with, you know, local labor is phenomenal as well. So we've seen people step up over and over and over again, if for anything else, offering us the space. And that's really what we need. You know, we need to pull drives together in communities where our people are. And so, yes, we're seeing a little bit, but we still need to put more drives on the calendar.
And once again, where can folks go if they're interested in giving blood, finding a drive that's near them, or coming down to your fixed location? Where can they go to find all that information?
Yeah, so if you go to redcrossblood.org, it'll give you the opportunity to put in a zip code, and then you can find a drive in your neighborhood.
Excellent. Hey, Rachel, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for the good work you guys have continued to do, and we really appreciate you helping out during this time.
And thanks for the support that you guys give us as well. Thank you.